the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Tuesday, June 24th, 2014. This is Sally Baptist speaking, and thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of American Freedom Watch Radio with host Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. The call-in number is 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to speak on the air. And you can also go into the chat room and submit your questions and comments out there as well. Today, just a couple of things I'm going to put out there. Needless to say, there's all sorts of things going on out there today. But for my rant, I'll make it brief and to the point. First off, Wednesday, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I am going to be at the Orlando-Orange County Expressway Authority. That, thanks to our dear, good old friend Rick Scott, will now be the regional Central Florida Expressway Authority. So we're going to take the most corrupt agency in Central Florida and expand it to cover 4 counties altogether. So I think I really need to be there to congratulate them and to share some of my feelings of what the expressway could be. And I also, Karen, I think you'll like some. The governor of this new 9-member board, it's supposed to be elected except for citizen members. I think I would be a perfect citizen to be on that board. So I'm going to put that idea in their ear, too. So we'll see how they like that one. So that should be interesting and entertaining tomorrow. The other thing, just like I mentioned on last week's show, just a reminder that July 4th is Independence Day. It's not Happy July 4th. It's Happy Independence Day. So if anyone says July 4th to you like that, tell them what it is, because they seem to be confused, and it is my goal to help educate as many as possible. And then my very last update, this is way too short. You guys aren't going to believe I'm being this quick on this tonight. I did check at the Mississippi election just before I started the show, and it was 49-49. Talk about a dead heat. We've got to get the old guy out of there. He's been there too long. We've got to get the Tea Party guy in there. So 49-49. And on that note, like I said, I'm going to be brief tonight. Hand this over to you guys.
Well, thank you so much, Sally. Hello, everyone. You're listening to Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks on American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on Red State Talk Radio every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Please look on Red State. Check us out. Check us out on Blog Talk. There will be a wonderful podcast. Share it with your friends. Visit our websites, agenda21today.com, panhandlepatriots.com, saveamericafoundation.com, and KarenSchoen.com, and VoteKarenSchoen.com. And Sally, I really had a rough time not getting hysterical laughing about the new Orange County, the new Transportation Regional Council, just what we need, another regional council that is also unconstitutional. I guess Governor Scott failed to read the Constitution. He was probably absent on Constitution Day when they are allowed to teach it, because I don't think they teach it at all. But we do have one day that we know they're supposed to teach it. It is really criminal. And so, John, how are you on this wonderful Tuesday that we hope that we will have a great victory in Mississippi? We'll be on the air, and hopefully they will call the election while we are in time to listen to it, which is always exciting.
Yeah, well, we've got the election in Mississippi, and then also, you know, you've got Oklahoma. We've got like 5 primaries tonight, and it's going to be interesting. The one thing that is clear is that I guess Mississippi really comes to the forefront, because Chris McDaniels has got a real shot at this. But I'll tell you, this weekend, you know, the establishment Republicans brought in Thad Cochran, brought in the big gun John McCain, and they spent the weekend in Mississippi attempting to rally the establishment GOP, and that's what we're confronted with. And, you know, there's some irony in it that the people of America need to understand. You know, Cochran and McCain, between the two of those guys, they've been in Washington for like 72 years combined, huh? And we see the results each and every day of the America that they have given us, you know, where the corporations rule, the bankers rule, and there is no voice of the people. You know, we're continually inundated by these regional non-elected boards all across the United States of America. It's happening in every state, and people are having to fight to turn it back. And that's the one thing about Chris McDaniels. He gets it. He understands the Constitution. And he will be a constitutional conservative that we can easily support. You know, we've had enough of Thad Cochran, so I pleaded with everyone. I have a few friends. There's a lot of folks that work offshore from Mississippi, and I pleaded with all of them in the last few days to please turn out and vote. That's the one thing we can do. That's our weapon right now, and it has to maintain and stay in the forefront of everything that we do between now and November. Vote. Every opportunity you have, vote for a constitutional conservative. Vote for people that will change, and I'm talking true change. There's a restoration that has to take place. We have many battles that we confront, and all of it is because of the establishment GOP being in bed with the Democrats, so we have one single party. There are no two parties. They're working in unison along with the United Nations to destroy America and our sovereignty.
You're right. You are absolutely right, John. I just read an article how the United Nations is now dedicated to disarming Americans. That's their new dedication, and they are going to work and lobby and blah, blah, blah to make sure that Americans are disarmed. Americans never, underlined 6 times in red, in bold, italics, never give up your guns. Never give up your guns. Every time a group of people gave up their guns, they were destroyed. And I will go back to a story that a friend of our family told us when we were talking, and she was relaying her experiences in the Warsaw Ghetto during World War II. And I asked, and why didn't you fight back? What was wrong with the Jews? Why didn't they fight back? And her answer to me was, they picked up our guns, and all we had was pots and pans. Remember?
Well,
that
you know, and the original thing there, Karen, too, because if you go back and people that have read The Rise and the Fall of the Third Reich, and you understand Hitler's rise and his design, the one thing that Hitler implemented before he was able to seize the weapons of everyone was he registered their weapons so that he knew who had weapons. And think about where we're at in this country today, and each and every time the background check that you go to buy a firearm, and you have no record, no criminal record or anything, it's not about that. It's about having access to know where every single weapon in this nation is. And why is that so critical, and why are the gun rights advocates, you know, all of this move to harshly monitor and register every weapon. I don't care if it's a simple shotgun. They have an accurate accounting of every weapon that every American citizen owns, unless it's one that was grandfathered in, and hopefully folks have those, and then they have purchased an ample supply of ammunition, because that's one of the efforts that the UN is making, is to hold ammunition off the market in the U.S. And people that are, I guess, up to date and are attempting to purchase ammunition, because a gun does you absolutely no good unless you have the ammunition to fire it. And, you know, right now, that's a huge issue, being able to find small caliber ammunition. And why is that? Because the UN has implemented a policy, and they're holding back a lot of the stuff. The military ammo that was readily available is now being held off the market, or it's been purchased by agencies inside the United States. You know, the BLM, the Department of Interior. They needed huge volumes of ammo for what? What is it that the BLM does? You know, the Bureau of Land Management. You know, to take on a rancher out in New Mexico? No, that's not it. They're hoarding the ammo to keep it out of the hands of the citizens. Trust me, that's their overall intent and design. It's shameful. But, you know, when we speak of the UN, I just read an article today about the city of Detroit, the fine example of true progressive politics that has destroyed a city. And the people there now, I mean, their water is being cut off because they have not paid their bills. And sure, their bills are exorbitant. They're high. But why is that? Because they elected liberals. They elected progressives to their city council. They had liberal mayors, and they did all things that liberals do. They gave away and gave away until there was nothing to give away. And they bankrupt the city of Detroit, and they wanted more from the federal government. They sought more and more dollars from the federal government. Well, the federal government does not have the funds to give the city of Detroit. So now they're having to demand higher rates for all services. So now the people that are having their water cut off have joined together and joined with a couple of different organizations in Detroit to seek the UN's help under human rights to safe drinking water and sanitation, and urging the UN to become involved and stop the city of Detroit from continuing to shut off their water. So we've got cities inside the United States that are seeking the UN out, and the UN then in turn files cases against the United States of America in the World Court. And trust me, this is going to come to a head, because, you know, when the UN tells any city in this nation that you have to provide a service, regardless of, you know, what the cost, you have to provide that service, what gives them the right to overcome our sovereignty as a sovereign nation? What have we agreed to, America? And that's what this show is all about. American Freedom Watch is not a mishapped name. It is our attempt to wake up American citizens to the truth that we are being overrun by a socialist design, and the UN will be the forces, and the UN will exercise force to destroy a sovereign nation, and that's exactly what our politicians in Washington have agreed to. The federal government knows this is coming down the pipe. You know, they're the ones that cut off the funds. Well, what choice does a city have if you can't get the federal infrastructure dollars? And think about, every listener needs to look at their city councils, look at their county commissioners. Think about what those guys are accepting from the federal government just to operate today, or with these huge budgets that they have. They still are taking federal dollars. And every time you take a federal grant and federal money, you're putting yourself on the hook for everything that they design attachment to that money. So when they attach something to that money, your city, your county has to meet those requirements for just a pennant of what the federal government gives back to the people. Well, how did the dollars get there? You know, how did the dollars all end up in Washington, where cities and counties have got to beg for the money to get it back? And then when they take it, it'll be just like Detroit. When a city gets in trouble and they're underwater and they cannot finance the operation of their city, and the federal government will shut them off, then what happens? Where do you go? You'll have exorbitant tax rates. You'll have services being cut off to people. Well, it's by design. That's all we can say about it. It's by design, and it's not a good design for America.
No, it is not. And you know, John, also people remember, how is the UN funded? A large portion of the funding comes from the U.S. Where does the U.S. government get its money? From we the people. So we are funding a group of people who have one goal in mind, and that is to disarm us and to make us into slaves, make us into slaves. I think that's probably the best word. Human collateral. I like that one.
Yes.
Human capital. Human collateral.
There you go. Yep.
They don't look at us as though we are people And I'm talking about the legislators, the hardcore progressives. They do a couple of things. They don't never look at a program to see whether it was good or it wasn't, so it never gets stopped. They continually add on top of programs so that you have mountains and mountains of regulations. So therefore, every single day when John and Karen and you and your family get up and leave your house, you are breaking some law someplace, so that eventually, should you do something, requires a conversation, they can find you guilty of something. And as I was campaigning last week, one of the people came during the question and answer and asked me, okay, so you've told us all of this. Well, now tell us, what is the solution? And I said, if the solution is not simple, it's not worth doing. Do we all agree to that? And the woman said, yes. And I said, good. Stop taking the money. It's as simple as that. Stop taking the money. You don't want to be involved in these disastrous black holes that are drains upon every fiber of your being and will ultimately wind up with you losing your property, your children, your home, everything. Stop taking the money. Go to your town council meetings. Go to your school board meetings. Go to any meeting you can. It is your job as an American to get involved. That's the most important thing, John. And you know what? I am so refreshed. People are really beginning to see that it's time for them to step up to the plate. Really a shame in some of the counties, though. I noticed in Florida, last Friday was the qualifying date. And in Jacksonville, in one of the counties in Jacksonville, the incumbent was running unopposed. This is why I hate this. Well, guess what he forgot to do? He forgot to send in his final papers, so he never qualified. An open seat. If anyone was running against him, they would have had an open door right into the state house. What a shame. That's why these elections are so important. We can't continue to give the progressives the power that they use against us and then be mad at them for doing it. We know they're going to do it. If we want to stop them, we have to get involved. And that's why we put on this show.
Hey guys, you have a caller. You have a caller who wants to join in for a minute?
That would be wonderful. We'd love to have callers.
Okay, the last four digits are 4940. Caller, you are on the air. Can we get your name?
Hello, my name is Christine, and I'd just like to make one remark. What he said about that the federal government doesn't have enough money for Detroit, well, then how do they have so much money for millions of people who are not a citizen? They're admitting millions of people every day, and they're putting them right on the dole. You got to say about the city of Detroit. The city of Detroit started the economy of the entire world from the 1800s. So I'd like for you to explain to me, how do they think that they can continue to spend billions of dollars on the other people who come here and don't have a dime for the city of Detroit that started the economy of the world?
Well, the real answer to that is they don't care about the people of Detroit because they're already registered voters. They've got their sights on the new voters who they want to let in through the borders. So, therefore, they will just go and print more money. They don't care about the money either. They don't care about the debt. They don't care about the people. All they care about is the votes. So we have become insignificant to them because we have outweighed our usefulness, and our needs are unimportant. They don't care about the people. What they care about are the new voters. And that was a absolutely 100% clear by what went on in Florida. The catering to the illegals in the state of Florida was insurmountable. So bad was the corruption this past year that I am proud to say that Florida is in the top 10 of the most corrupt cities in the country. How do you like that? The most corrupt politicians are in the state of Florida. So, Christine, you are right on target, as always. And the answer is they don't care. And that's the other side of the coin.
Yeah, and Christine, what needs to be understood by the city of Detroit is that, yes, the federal government, I mean, when the Federal Reserve is continuing to pump at this time, they're still putting $45 billion monthly into the U.S. economy. How much of that money is going to the city of Detroit? Why is it that if the city of Detroit's got, and there's 80,000 residents in the city of Detroit, who cannot, and they're in arrear on their water bills, and they can't afford to pay their water bills because their water bills are twice the rate of any other city in the nation. So why is
if I was
that money can't reach down to them?
If I still lived in that area, I would be filing a discrimination suit against the federal government in the U.S. District Court, because if they have the money to give to any other people's nation to come here, and they don't give it to their own area in the United States, doesn't matter what city it is, if you would have to take some of the money that you're giving to others who don't even live in our country, that would be a case. I'd find a way to make a case out of it. Karen knows me very well. By the time I get through that Constitution, I'd be able to wrap the Constitution around their throat, and they would be paying the water bills for the people in my area.
Well, I agree with you, Christine, and I think that's where it's going to go with a lot of these things, because all these bills, all these laws, all this illegal crap and this group and that group, all they're doing are creating protected classes, which in itself
Yeah, they are in a protected class, and that tells me that they don't have their legal authorities there, and not the legal authorities in the government, but outside of the government, should have sense enough to know just what you said about the protected classes and how to fight the government. That's why I'm so happy that I've heard that three or four of the upstate Tea Party groups are opting to try to get a third party candidate that will fight the government itself. Like that, I can't think of the man's name, the one who is challenging the driver's license mess. He's absolutely right. You don't need a driver's license. We've already paid taxes for the road. All you need to do is just go and prove that you can drive, and they put that on your state ID, and you never have to see them again. And so he's in court. See, that's what we need. We need some people to get up and challenge the government in court and get other people to back them up. So you know, if they don't get somebody like that in Detroit area, well, I don't know what's going to happen to them. I can't go back up there. I don't live there. I live here in South Florida. I'm the one who's done all these cases against the immigration here. I'm ready to go to the Supreme Court with that. So I don't have time to go to Detroit, and I don't live there.
Well, I agree with you, Christine, and the person that you're talking about, his name is Adrian Wiley, and he's running for governor on the Libertarian ticket in Florida. And I tell everyone wherever I go that we have a two-party system. We have the Republicrats and the Libertarians. And if they want to vote for the people, vote for the Libertarian whenever it's possible.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Karen. I'm so glad to hear you say that, because it's so important. Like, what is your guest name again?
John. My co-host is John. This is John Estabrook.
It's so important that John, what he's saying is so important about not letting the UN get into things. And the way we do that is by not just running two parties, it's really just one. That's why we need that other party, and so we'll at least have two parties, especially in the Florida election. It's two Republicans, two Republicrats.
You're right.
Two Republicrats. You know, so I don't know about other people, but I am going to do just as I know, like I said, some of my really intelligent upstate state Tea Party leaders, I'm going to follow their lead, and I'm going to support whatever they support, as long as it's against the same government that has been totally destructive to the state of Florida. So I'll let somebody else get on the line.
Yeah, let me share something about the Mississippi election, because this is a this is something we need to watch, because it's the footprint of exactly what the GOP has in line for any state that has open primaries. When I said that John McCain went in this last weekend and was on the stump with Thad Cochran in Mississippi, every state has large population urban centers, right, that have a huge
right.
volume of voters. Typically, most of these voters are Democrats. They know that. So, you know, when John McCain and Thad Cochran are on the stump in Mississippi, why are they in Jackson, Mississippi, that votes primarily Democrat? Because what they're seeking to do, the establishment Republicans are so low that they poured millions of dollars into Mississippi to get Democrat voters to cross over and vote for the Republican candidate, Thad Cochran. Now, that's the footprint of what we're facing. So they are truly one party. There is no separation between the Democrat and the establishment GOP. But now there are conservative candidates that are running in, because if we want a true two-party system, which I'm not in favor of at all, but if we want one, then we're going to have to destroy the establishment Republicans, and that's what this battle tonight in Mississippi and the battle in Oklahoma is about, because both of these states have Tea Party candidates, people, and let's be clear about that. When we say Tea Party, we're talking about a concerned, constitutional American citizen, American citizens, not illegals, not paid-for Democrats, American citizens who have had enough already. We've been taxed mm-hmm. enough. We know that our money is being misspent. We know that we're fighting wars that we shouldn't have ever been in. We've got all that. So we're standing up now, and they want to label us as like we're a third party. No. We are Americans who are going to vote for any candidate that stands on constitutional principles, because that's where the battle is. We're fighting for the United States Constitution and the state of Mississippi and Oklahoma tonight.
Well, you are absolutely right, John.
Let me tell
you
another thing I know about the Tea Party before I forget it. The Tea Party is made up of more than just Republicans. I've been in their group
yes.
for a long time.
Yes, ma'am.
You have Libertarians in the party. You have
yes, ma'am.
You have NPAs. You have Democrats. They're actually Democrats in the Tea Party. So they're very wrong when they say that it's all conservative Republicans. It's the
right-wing conservative Republicans.
Who want to join
yes.
this. There are other parties who want to join the conservative Republicans. I can tell you right now that Broward County Republicans lost 4% of their lead. They only got 22,000 registered voters in Broward County. The NPAs up their lead. They now have 26,000 voters in registered in Broward County. So that takes the Democrats' lead down to about only 44%. Well, 54%. Yes. So you're absolutely right. People are joining
the
conservative
Tea Party.
Movement.
The Tea Party, to me, are Americans. It is a
yes.
conglomeration of
yes.
Americans who believe in the Constitution and
yes.
want
yeah.
the government to follow the Constitution and essentially get back in their box, do what they're supposed to do, like protect the borders, what a surprise, something different,
yeah.
protect American people. Do what they're supposed to do and let the American people do what they are supposed to do. And it was very interesting to me this past week, and I'm really glad that I'm running for office, because I am getting a totally different picture and now an understanding of what happens to candidates. I told everyone when I was running, I will never take a dime from a corporation, a special interest, or anyone. I don't mean a huge corporation that would try to sway a vote, or a special interest group. And I have gotten this past week 6 different surveys from 6 different special interest groups, all offering me their support as long as I would take their survey.
you would not believe the questions that are on those surveys. So I've decided that the way I'm going to answer them is going to be like this. I will do what's best that my constituents ask me to do. And if they want me to support your survey, I will do it. If they don't, I will not. If you don't like it, that's too bad, because that's the way it is.
Well, Karen,
I'm not one of their favorite
people. And I will see you next week live from Fort Lauderdale City Council meeting, where you will hear me, a citizen, standing up to the Fort Lauderdale Commission on why they haven't taken a step toward getting this immigration situation straightened out, because they have the constitutional right to do so. So I will see you next week.
That is wonderful, and thanks, Christine.
Thank you, Chris.
Have a great
it's always week. Great to hear from you.
Okay, good night. See you next week. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. Well, she is absolutely wonderful, and that will be a very exciting. She's agreed to take her phone with her and put it on as she is speaking to the city council, because we want people to know that they're not alone. There are lots of people now that are out there that are learning, and they are pulling on, and why, and they are bringing that message home. And they're saying exactly what Christine is saying. If it is not constitutional, don't do it. If it is not, if it involves money, don't take it. If it involves anything that puts us in jeopardy as American people, stop doing it. And the message is getting out there, John. I'm real excited. The message
well,
is
I'll tell you what, in the state of Texas and Governor Rick Perry, we've got to give him a shout out and salute his efforts to close the Texas border by the use of his National Guard troops and sheriffs and local law enforcement in the region. And in fact, since he has started to man the border, there are already being some gunshots fired from the other side. And my commentary there is if I'm shot at, shoot back.
True.
Because, well, we know who is operating. Right. I mean, that whole effort down there, you know, the people that are willing to tote across illegals, they're doing it for profit. I mean, they're profiteers and they're drug runners. They're the worst of mankind. And that's who is, flooding the border with these children. But, I mean, that's because of the stance of this president and this administration to openly go down and tell the citizens of Colombia and Guatemala, Venezuela, Mexico, that when you get to America, we will welcome you with open arms. Here are the things that will be provided to you. Now, what sense and what logic is that except the understanding of the design that they have for changing the voting power and the whole demographics of how this nation elects people. You know, if I bring these people in and I give them citizenship, which is another thing that John McCain supports, and I'm sure that the yes vote of Tad Cochran, I mean, because that's all Tad Cochran is. Tad Cochran
John,
is a yes man.
John McCain today doesn't. He wants to send the illegals home now.
Oh yeah, great. Because John McCain recognizes that we're not going to tolerate him or his establishment Republicans. They're getting the message. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that the people in Mississippi boot him off the stage, but I'm sure they didn't, especially where they held their rallies. You know. They went to the urban areas. They didn't go out to the countryside to where they could have seen the Americans. They're not interested in us. They're doing everything in their power to outspend us, but they can't outvote us. That's our mission.
That's
register, vote, and defeat these guys. Send them home.
And on that note, your guest has arrived.
Oh, that is wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, all of our listeners, we are really honored tonight. We have a very special guest, Tom DeLise. I've known his work for the last, Tom, I don't want to date you, but it's been a long time. His work on Agenda 21 and sustainable development has enabled thousands of people, millions, I would imagine, to become educated all over the world about what is really happening and the motivation behind a lot of these programs, which, as we know, are basically doublespeak. Tom is from the American Policy Center, and Tom, welcome to the show. You are online with myself and with John Estabrooks and our producer, Sally Baptist.
Thanks. It's good to be with you.
It is wonderful to have you with us. We were on your Tom has been doing webinars to teach people how to work, what to do, and basically how to react when you get socked in the face with a lot of these rules, regulations that are absolutely make no sense at all.
Yeah, that's true. we did the first one, the first webinar earlier this month, which is archived on our website at AmericanPolicy.org. But I wanted to face the issue that the number one thing they always say about us when we start quoting them is that we're crazy, we're conspiracy theorists, we're fringe nuts wearing tinfoil hats, and I wanted to address that directly. Now we're going to each month do another segment, and actually today I organized the next two, which are focused on what I call the attack of the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, the people who are behind all this stuff. And I've got Michael Kaufman's going to join me on July 13th. That'll be the next one, and we're going to talk about these things. And then in August, Craig Rucker from CFAC, the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, and Ron Arnold, the author of such books as Undue Influence and Trashing the Economy, probably the greatest researcher in our movement to tell you where the funding comes from these organizations, who's behind them, how it all works. So those are the next two segments that we're going to do, and people are going to come away with it's like a college course we're doing here on Agenda 21 and Sustainable Development.
That is fantastic. As we know in Florida, because we've been running around the state and in Louisiana, we are eaten up by regions and regionalism. And perhaps, Tom, you can share with everyone why are they so dangerous.
Well, let me just share this quote with you, which is from a guy named Thomas Lovejoy, who is a science advisor to the Department of the Interior and one of the people putting together the Wildlands Project and many of these things. He said, "Regionalism must precede globalism. We foresee a seamless system of governance from local communities, individual states, regional unions, and up through the United Nations itself." That came from the UN Commission on Global Governance. And that's exactly what they're forcing here. Our founding fathers created a brilliant system in which the local government had the most effect on us and the federal government had the least effect. That's the way it was supposed to be. And interestingly enough, even though that's been turned upside down, those people pushing these programs, the sustainablists that are pushing all this, understand that concept. And, they started out with fighting under the banner think globally, act locally, and they meant it. That's exactly what they've done. They have gone into our local communities and begun to put these things in place. They literally control our elected officials in most communities. But step by step, what they do is set up regional councils, non-elected boards, that sort of thing, and then slowly they take your elected officials and begin to diminish their power over us, their effect over us, by putting in regional governments that take in huge regions where you can't touch them. They're not elected by you. You have no say in what they do. If you go to an elected official and say, "Wait a minute, this policy is bothering me here," they will say, "Oh, there's nothing I can do." I mean, that's the regional government. And we had a situation in Ohio in which they were putting in, and are putting in a bike path. And one lady I was working with there, Jenny Granato, the bike path was coming within 7 feet of her front door. They took out her entire front yard, literally ruining her property, rendering it worthless. And a lot of the activists down there went to the regional government, which was responsible for the funding, putting this together. The regional government said, oh, we don't have anything to do with that. All we did was get the funding. We didn't have anything to do with anything. Everywhere you turn, nobody had anything to do with it. And that's what we're talking about here when we're opposing regional government, because your ability to affect what goes on, to even, you know, so you elect your local commissioners or whatever, what power do they have? It's gone. And that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And that's a big key point, Tom, that listeners need to become aware of. You know, that is the control that they're exercising, and I see all over the state of Louisiana where they're forming these regional councils and commissions especially for our coastal restoration, our master plan for coastal restoration. When you get to those folks, there are still parish dollars, which would be counties for everybody else, but there are parish dollars that are leaving your parish and being turned over to these guys, and that's what your parish, our guys down here are police jurymen instead of, county commissioners. Well, the police jurymen are just rubber stamping a budget. They don't have any authority, and they will. That's exactly their comeback. It was, well, you know, that's really not out of, all we did was approve the money for that, and you'll have to go talk to the coastal council about that. And you get to the coastal council, and that's exactly their response. Well, no. We've sought the, you know, there are five parishes that contributed to this and financed this and funded it. So they're working in unison, but the guy that you're electing on your council has given and relinquished his power to these people, and all they're becoming is just a rubber stamp for budgets.
Yeah, that's exactly the term for it too, and you're absolutely right. They and these guys. These non-governmental organizations, all these land trust groups and conservation groups and all that, they are coming in with the grant money, usually from the federal government, sometimes from other sources. They come in with the whole plan in a box, essentially. They've got all the rules and regulations in there. They've got the funding for it. And they just tell these guys, sign right here, press real hard. There's 300 copies. And here's your new government. And that's the way it operates. And most of the time, these guys don't even know what's in that box. And they just say, oh, this is what we're supposed to do. Here it is. So.
Right. And that's exactly the way it works. And that's why some of these bills that are passed are so big, so that nobody can really understand what's in them. And that should be something that we should all be very cognizant of and take over in our state and demand that our bills from our state are single item bills, period. We had a perfect example of multiple items in the bills that are in the state in Florida. Nobody even saw this one coming when they were doing an education bill. All of a sudden, last minute, they threw in an addendum that would give illegals the same in-state tuition as the rest of Floridians. In addition to that, they have also granted illegals the ability to practice law. And when I heard that and I went to some of my attorney friends and I said, how could you let that happen? They said, this didn't happen. When did this happen? It happened when the legislators legislated it, but nobody knew about it. So what they do is they convolute everything so that it's impossible to follow and then say, here, sign this.
They do. And then they put it in this language, it's all about, when you're talking about conservation, well, it's just about clean water. It's just, we're going to keep our beaches nice. Everybody wants that. Tourism, we rely on tourism. We need to make sure that's all right. And so just step by step by step, these things are put in place with all these nice sounding words. But the reality of what is happening there is that you are, first and foremost, destroying private property, because as they're acquiring more and more land and controlling it, private property ownership isn't about paying the mortgage and the taxes. It is about use. If you don't have the use of your land is not private and it's not worth anything. It's worthless. And that is something we have got to keep in the focus in here, is when we're talking about private property rights, these guys will assure you, oh, of course we're going to protect your private property rights. And, hey, I'm a property owner too. How many times have I heard that from them? The point is, if you can't use your land for what you want to use it for, it is worthless. And that's the bottom line to it.
That's
right.
The fact.
So what should people look for? Let's say I have in my community a comprehensive plan, which is what just happened, and now all of a sudden the water management district has their sights on some guy's property. So they're going to the county and they're telling the county that they want to come in and they're going to change this land, which was agriculture, into conservation.
And well,
they found a puddle, they found a wetland, they found a bird, they found a lizard, they found a panther or something, and they go to the people, and then they entice the people, and the people say, oh, well, this is not bad. I want to save the property. I want to save my land. So what happens from there, Tom? What should people look out for?
Well, conservation easements are one of the big things that they're pushing to do exactly what you just described. And it's all done with the farmers are being lined up and signing up for these things by the thousands across the country, all with the promise that it's going to be, your farm will always be farmland. And then they have them sign away their development rights. Maybe they'll get a check for that or something. But the point is, first of all, who's making the farmer sell the land? Why does he have to sell it? Why does he have to have a conservation easement on it in the first place if he doesn't want it to be farm? If he doesn't want anything to happen to his farm? But they use all these excuses. But one of the key points to a conservation easement is that you sign it, your land away in perpetuity, forever. Meanwhile, the land trust organizations that are getting people to sign these things have control of that, and they can trade those back and forth like commodities. They can work with other land trust groups. They can also sell the rights to it to the government, all kinds of things. But meanwhile, the poor landowner, the farmer, is stuck forever when he made a quick decision sitting in front of a document, and it isn't forever. What we're saying to people now is, why does it have to be in perpetuity? How about a 5-year opt-out on it? Make sure it works for you. If this is such a wonderful, grandiose thing, of course you're going to stay in it. But you might find out it doesn't work for you, and you ought to have a way to get out of it. Anything done in perpetuity should immediately be suspect, and I think if we focused on that, we could take a whole lot of teeth out of these things and save a lot of people a lot of pain and grief.
That's a very, very good point, and I'm going to start telling people to do that. We have, and John, you may have this down in Louisiana also, as I've been going, traveling around the district and talking to farmers, I'm finding that my favorite group of people, the Water Management District, is now going to the farmers and telling them that that they have to put a meter on their private well, because now everybody owns the water. So they are going to be metering the water that comes from the farms. Well,
wow.
I've been telling the farmers, and I tell them this story about California, and how when the government or any bureaucracy gets control of the meter over the water, that you wind up with things like this drought.
Yep. And see, but Karen, I guess the listeners need to understand that it's just not water. It's every natural resource. And think about all of the natural resources that you touch in your community, especially if you're in rural America. You know, agriculture, yeah, they're going to decimate the farmers, and they're going to seize those lands. You know, they use the atmosphere, energy. You know, I see that more in Louisiana, energy in our coastal areas. But it's about all of our natural resources being wrapped up and tied to sustainable development. And it's in every state, every county, every city. And when the minute you hear a city council or a county commission or your state legislators start to legislate or want to pass rulings about any natural resource, you better be suspect. You better be very cautious, and you better read the fine print. If it's grant monies that you're taking from the federal government, that is the mechanism and the tool. You know, in here in Calcasieu Parish, after Hurricane Rita, when our police jury accepted funds from the federal government for disaster relief, well, they tied to it an EPA deal for the guidelines on what, you know, our septic systems. All of our, you know, we had to turn that over to the EPA, and it was for a small portion of money. You know, it was for money that the police jury did not require. They didn't have to have. It wasn't like they were broke. But they did it because they made it so attractive just to seize that money immediately in a crisis. So if you've got crisis in your area, anything that's a natural disaster, you better be cautious because they're going to suck out the natural resources that now private citizens hold. You know, when I look at energy and I think of the expansion of what we're doing with natural gas and oil in America and all of the work, it's all done on private property. So guess who's a big target of all the legislation that's moving forward in Washington? They want a greater control over permitting on these private properties, and there's a reason for that. They want total control of all land use in America. That's it.
Yeah. Tom, can you explain to our listeners what a sustainable development really means? I'm asking you this question for a reason. I know you are on the eastern part of Florida, and I know that you met the people that had the 750 plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the planner, Andre Duwani, built 4 different towns in Florida, in where I live, on the initial sustainable development. And when I talk to people, what I'm telling them is the big difference is that they chose to live there. There's a big difference now.
Yeah. When you talk about sustainable development, you talk about Agenda 21, and, of course, they deny there's any connection to the two. Sustainable development is just good land use practices. It's just, you know, we're just trying to use good ideas of how we can best handle things, and they talk about preserving the land, preserving for future generations, and all those are all their language. But when you get down into it, and you find what we're really talking about here, Agenda 21 means agenda for the 21st century. It was put together by thousands of private organizations, these non-governmental organizations, with their own private agendas, really, but they all kind of merge together into this one document, this one plan. They call it a comprehensive blueprint for our future. And one of the key things in there driving it is population. They live with this terror of overpopulation. And, of course, the examples they use are the teeming cities of India and China and places like that. And places where you have really bad government and where people aren't allowed to own private property. This is what you get, is these teeming cities of poor people. And they use that as their guide. And they have literally said over and over again that we have got to drastically reduce the population of the world. Jacques Cousteau said you've got to reduce it by 350,000 people per day. David Foreman said we can only have 100 million people worldwide, and we've got to destroy the industrial infrastructure and all of that. So most of these programs are designed, and, you know, you ask the question, why? Why do they want to control the land? Why do they want to control the resources and so forth? What all of these things are designed to do is make it impossible for you to live in those rural areas so that you have to move into the cities. If everybody's moving into the cities, what do you have then? A population explosion. And if they put in a smart growth, they put draw a line around the city and say nothing can happen outside of this line. We won't have any development. We won't have any infrastructure. We won't have any roads. We won't have any telephone, cable or anything like that. Only have what's right here in the city. Well, what happens then? The population explodes, and it can't sustain itself. We need to get rid of that population. We need to lower the population. And essentially, you move towards what Dave Foreman is saying. And, how do you do that? And you do it with, forced abortions. You do it with controls on how many children your parents are allowed to have, licensing parents, all this kind of stuff. So that's one of the main things that you have to understand about the term sustainable development, that they want people out of the rural areas. That's why they're attacking farmers and trying to get control of that land out there. A sustainable city, a smart growth city, according to their plans, is that you have that circle around it. Here you've got the mega city, and you've got this tiny little strip of farmland outside that is basically government-controlled, and the purpose of that little strip of farmland is to feed everybody inside that city, and you don't have importation of food. You don't have mega farms out, across the country that are feeding the world as they are today. You have all the food in that city is going to be grown right there outside that line. That's a sustainable city, and that's how they're driving to it. Now, that's radical. That sounds like, oh, that's crazy. Yeah, it is. But when you look at their plans step by step by step and you see them implementing it, I mean, now they're moving to have a mud puddle considered a wetlands or a navigable waterway. I just talked to an associate of mine in D.C. today. He said they're moving on that now. They've been talking about it for years. Now they're moving on literally making mud puddles, navigable waterways that the EPA controls and controls your land because you've got it on there.
Yeah.
Tom, I have to stop you for 1 second for a short station break. You're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, every Tuesday from 8 to 10, and on Red State Talk Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Please check the times if they may change, and that is redstateradio.com. And please visit our websites, agenda21today.com, karenshone.com, panhandlepatriots.com, saveamerica.com, and votekarenshone.com. You're listening today to Karen Schoen, myself, to my co-host, John Estabrooks, and our guest, Tom DeWeese, who can be found on AmericanPolicy.org. Please visit his website and follow along what Tom is doing and saying. There is a way out. There are solutions. You just have to be willing to do them and take the guidance that others that have done this before are offering to give. This is important. This is for us. This is for America. And this is to preserve our American way of life. You can't preserve what you don't understand. And that has been the problem for a very long time because our education has been so flawed. So let's stop playing the blame game. Let's be big boys and girls. And let's do what is necessary to work together so that we can preserve, understand, maintain, and bring back a beautiful America for ourselves and our children. Okay, Tom was explaining about what sustainable developments are. And Tom, this is the map that we use, and it's Dr. Michael Kaufman, who you said will be on the seminar with you on the webinar next time. And Dr. Kaufman, who will be on the radio show not today, but in the future. I love his story, and I love your story too, Tom, because this is what one individual can do. That's what makes America great, the power of one individual working together with other exceptional individuals. So when we all reach our potential, which is what we're supposed to do in school, which is why they won't let us do that, we then have the power of one that creates America with the power of many. So, Tom, thank you for joining us this evening. And we were talking about sustainable development.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what, just as what you just described, I fully believe in the power of one. And the great pleasure of my life is people ask me, how can you stay in this fight for so long? How can you keep doing this when we've lost so many battles for so many years and so forth? It's the pleasure of working with people like Michael Kaufman and many others that I get a chance to work with. And, it's fun. Sometimes we go out together and speak, and we just have a good time. We just talked to him on the phone today, and we have a great time talking. Going on back into this whole sustainable development thing, what you find as these conservation easements are put in place, as these regulations are put in place, that the land is less productive, there are loss of jobs, there's loss of private property, everything connected to sustainability means higher prices, shortages. And the prime example of that is what you see at the filling station every single day, but also at the grocery store. You're seeing food prices rise. You're seeing gas prices rise, and that's a direct result. It's done on purpose. This is how they control us, basically. They manipulate us by having higher prices. I mean, you've seen, the government do this, trying to stop you from smoking. Well, let's make it, $20 a pack for cigarettes, and you won't do that anymore. That is behavior modification practices. That's what that
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Tom, one of the things I want our listeners so that they understand. You're not talking about anything because I know that we all often, when we speak of Agenda 21, we get the tinfoil hat from a lot of folks. But the
I've
one
been awarded
thing that, yeah, exactly. Hey, and you wear it proudly, and I understand fully. You can't put this down. Once you're enlightened, and look, I didn't get my information from anybody but the UN on Agenda 21. You can go to the UN.org and type in Agenda 21, and they lay out their plan. They spell this out. And when you think of the America and our role and all of the aid that America provides the United Nations, because we are viewed as an overdeveloped nation, and they absolutely are siphoning our economics. I mean, our economy is being controlled so that they can siphon money away from America and furnish it to underdeveloped nations as they view it for population control and the expansion of this global governance. We are being punished, and we're being punished, and the control mechanism is our economy. And when I think about everything that, how is it that we can inflate the, currency to the level, pumping billions of dollars each month into the U.S. economy, and it's never reaching down to the citizen. The average, our working society, our wealth is declining each and every day. Inflation is starting to take a foothold, and it's all by design so that they will cripple this nation's economy to bring us under control of the United Nations. Trust me. When Detroit asked the United Nations, for an outreach for humanitarian, they're oh, our water's being cut off, our water usage is being cut off. Well, there's reasons why. Detroit was foul, corrupted, and it bankrupted itself. And the federal government shut off their funds, which they should have years and years ago, but the federal government now recognizes what will happen. They will plead to the UN to come in on humanitarian reasons and demand that the water be cut back onto the citizens. That exercises sovereignty over Detroit, and it also relinquishes our sovereignty as a nation. And all of these things all work together, come from the United Nations, and you can get it online. They don't hide their agenda from us. This is not something that Tom DeWeese, Karen Schoen, or John Estabrooks thought of. This is their design. All we're doing is sharing with you the mechanisms that they're putting in place each and every day in every county across this nation.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the punishment issue, and people might not understand what you mean by that, but that literally is a driving force behind this. You start with the whole global warming issue. The proponents of all this have said that first world nations, particularly the United States, have industrialized, used so much energy, polluted the air, the skies, and that's causing other nations to have problems. Islands will be flooded. It causes health problems, stuff in other nations. And one of the reasons that they've had about three different UN meetings. And they've collapsed, and the meetings haven't been successful, is because the hardcore guys on these are pushing for a reparations tax, basically, on the United States and Europe and Japan, and to punish us, to pay other nations. In other words, it's redistribution of wealth. That's what it's about.
Absolutely.
And if you look at the logo of they use for sustainable development, the three connecting circles that are all marked, one is economic prosperity, one's ecological integrity, and one's social equity, what we call the three E's. This encompasses every aspect of our life, and really one of the most important ones of the three is social equity, social justice. You hear this term everywhere. What the heck does that mean? It means redistribution of wealth.
I love to ask them what it means. They have no idea.
Yeah, but it means redistribution of wealth.
And they don't want to say that.
Yeah.
I love to do that. I always go, oh, my goodness, that sounds like such a wonderful thing. What does it mean?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because several years ago when all this stuff kind of started back in the 90s, my office got a phone call from Capitol Hill, and they were getting ready to have a hearing on environmental justice. And they called and said, what the heck is environmental justice? Nobody had ever heard the term before. And what it means is how unfair it is that in poor sections of town, that's where they build factories and pollutants of all kinds. So that's environmental injustice. So what we need to do is go up on Snob Knob and put a factory up there, and that'll be environmental justice. I mean, this is the kind of craziness that, mm-hmm. that they're talking about. And it also, what it also says is the exact opposite of the promise of America. The reason that we had so many people who wanted to come to America out of their countries is because we had equal opportunity. We didn't have a caste system. We didn't have an upper echelon that you couldn't crack. You didn't have, the lords and all that in other countries. You had individuals here who, if they worked hard, if they were industrious, and they could build wealth themselves. And that's why all these people wanted to come here. When you start talking about environmental justice and social justice and all this, you are saying, well, there is no such thing as an individual trying to improve themselves. We're all in this together, and we've all got to sacrifice to make it work. That's totally opposite of the United States and why we're the most prosperous nation on earth. And I got other words for it.
Yeah.
Well, they're allowed to use them on this show. We call them communists. You know they are.
Yeah.
the thing that I learned, I go back to the 60s. I was learning at that time. I was a student teacher, and I then became a teacher, and my master's degree is in liberal studies. So I learned how they're going to do this. And when I went to the New School of Social Research, where I was supposed to get my doctorate, I was supposed to be a teacher trainer so that I would be able to turn around and teach the teachers how to teach this garbage. And really all it was the best of psychological manipulation, so that I guess when my first husband said to me, stop manipulating me, Karen, and I would say, I'm not doing that, dear. That's where it came from. But if you reduce everything, every single program, doesn't matter what it is, that's what I teach, when you reduce every single program to its lowest common denominator, they're all the same. Every program is about money, power, and control. Every program starts out with a crisis, and then they rile up the people, and then the people are willing to give up their power to whatever it is. Every program, nothing is random. They're all connected. Everything is the same. everything has a plan and everything is alive. So when you you get these programs, if you sit down and you say, okay, the children on the border, how does that fit into this? Well, we had to have a crisis because we had to divert our attention off of the scandals that are going on all up in Capitol Hill. So in January, in December, our Congress signed the continuing resolution which allowed the children, it allowed DHS and HHS and the USDA, it gave them advertising money so they could advertise for food stamps in Mexico.
Yeah.
In the meantime, they're re-engineering the cities and they're telling them, take this money so you can green your city, and by the way, you have to put in X number of Section 8 houses. But nobody lives there.
Karen, I really want listeners to understand this whole thing about what's taking place with illegal immigration and on our borders. This is about exactly what the United Nations has laid out, and it's one of their social aspects to their plan. It's to change the demographics of America to where people that understand we have a representative form of government, and there is a voting base of us that are speaking out. We will be drowned out. Our votes will not be counted. They will be outweighed by these people, by the change of demographics. When they relocate these children from Texas, where do they take them?
You have to go back further than that, John, because if you understand what they're doing, then you can understand how to stop it. And it has to stop and start in the schools. Because in the schools, when they don't teach about the Constitution and they don't teach the importance of land and they don't teach that you should be an individual and they don't teach you how to think, they teach you what to think, and they manipulate you. By the time you be an adult, you become an adult, you say, oh, open borders, oh, the turtle, oh, the bridge to nowhere, oh, we have to save the environment, because it's all taken out of their education.
And it's tied into the social aspect. Education in America is a primary target.
Right. I usually tell everybody, Tom, that there's four E's. The E they don't tell you about, and that's education.
Yes,
yeah.
You're right. Actually, somebody said to me the other day that if you take the three E's and put over the top of it one big E, that's education. Yeah. And that's what Common
circle.
Core is.
I put all three circles in one big circle. Mm-hmm. And then I write education around the big circle.
Maybe you're the one who told me that, yeah.
that's what makes it all work, because that's how you feed all of this garbage to these kids. And that's what happens, and that's why the best news is that as you're doing this simultaneously, the people are beginning to pay attention to what's going on in school.
I was on a conference call with leaders from across the country on the Common Core issue, and I think there may be 1,000 people on that call. And I said at the time that because of our fight against Agenda 21, which is a very difficult fight to get people to understand because it's so massive, but we had organized and we had awakened people to these problems, that I believe that the fight against Common Core will be easier because we're already organized and for the same purpose. And I think that's true. And I think you're seeing victories now taking place that we couldn't dream of on Agenda 21 that are happening on Common Core. And Common Core is the curriculum to create what I call the global village idiot, to accept all this. So,
I like that. It's better than some of the names I've been calling them.
It's a little rude, but, that's what you end up with. You have these guys who, they can't think for themselves. They can't move. The example it came out back when the flood in New Orleans there, the storm.
Yeah.
And you had all those people standing there not knowing what to do.
That was like the sock in the face, and I said, oh, my gosh, this is what 20 years of this creates. And that's exactly what it had created. At the minute in when I was teaching, the minute they changed education into outcome-based education, I said, that's it. And when I went for my doctorate, my choice was to write a thesis supporting communism. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to support communism. I don't care what letters come after my name. I'm not doing it. So I never went for my doctorate. I left at that time.
Wow.
But I told my friend, I remember walking under the East River Bridge, under the Brooklyn Bridge after that class, and I said, I'm never going to have children. And he said, why? And I said, because we'll be fighting communism, and I think they're going to win because what can we do? And at that time, I didn't see all of this technology, and that, I think, enabled us to come together like this.
Yeah.
So that now the people who were fighting individually can come together and share information and get it out to the public, which is what's so wonderful.
Now, I'll tell you something. Another thing that people have asked me, how do you stay in this fight all these years? And and we went for 18 years with hardly a progress at all. And people say, how'd you do that? You know, weren't you discouraged? Well, yeah, of course we were. But, you know, when people get into this now, and they just start to learn about it, and they seem absolutely overwhelmed. It's already all in place. It's over. We're losing the republic. It's gone. What can we do? I'm just one individual. You know, it's massive. And I'm sitting here, the Pollyanna of the movement, saying, yeah, because I have seen the days when we won. When no one was in. There were like four of us that were out there talking about this. Myself, Michael Coffin, Michael Shaw, Henry Lamb. We were it. And we had no allies and nobody listening to us. And all of a sudden that began to change. And people began to listen. There are hundreds of people out there now talking about this, speaking about it, writing
wonderful.
About it. And I've said to people, I liken it to D-Day. We're on Utah Beach. We've got a beachhead. And we're moving inland. And, you know, it's a long way to go to get to the end, but at least we have a fight. We never had a fight before, and look how they're reacting. I was told today that the head of ICLEI USA is beside himself. They are scared of us. We have hurt them so badly, they can't get another American city to join them because we've made it political poison. And that's happening across the country. We have suffered through the last 2 months about 10 different attacks against us, and three of those attacks have been Newsweek magazine, Esquire magazine, and Fortune magazine, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the American Planning Association, the National Resources Defense Council, treehugger.com. All of these have come out in mass against us. They are terrified of us, we've got to take heart in that, get energy from it, and say, let's do it again. Charge.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes.
I remember saying to Michael Shaw one day out in California, I said, we have circled the wagon so tightly, we've only got one wagon left. Let's charge.
Right.
That's what we've done.
You're right. And this is absolutely wonderful. I grew up in New York. When I was in New York, you know, you see all of this all the time, and that's what we were living. And then when I moved to New Jersey, it was just like the next step of New York. Coming down to Florida and seeing this in action was sickening. And that then you realize, oh my God, what these people have done, because you and I know these plans can never work. And then you go to these places like the city in Florida, and the budget is a mess, and they can't support themselves, and you see all of these failed policies that are in New York and in Chicago and whatever, and you see them in action. And that's horrifying, but it's wonderful to know that the people are willing to learn and do something about it.
Yeah, I've been amazed by what some people have done. I'm learning from them, and I'm excited about it. And every day I learn new things, and I try to incorporate that and spread it to other people. So, yeah.
Well, I wanted to share with you, Tom, because I know you came in for us here in Louisiana, and you gave a great presentation. And that organization that we put together here in Louisiana for Agenda 21 to fight it is exactly the mechanism that we used when we picked up the mantle to fight Common Core in Louisiana. It was that group. And it was so easy because we had already we understood what was coming, and we were able to relate the truth to the parents. And when you let a parent know that their child is under attack and how the attack is being done and how it's being carried out, but I just wanted to share with you that Agenda 21 organization that we put together in Louisiana is the founders of the folks, and we decided, look, okay, here's something that we can get citizens involved in because they are under attack. And once Americans recognize that they're under attack and you're attacking their children, hell hath no fury like a mad mama.
You're absolutely right, and that's the key to it, because it's easier to recruit people to protect their children than it is to get them to protect their private property or other interests.
Yeah, exactly.
So, absolutely correct, yeah. And the thing is, you're fighting the same battle, and if you do recruit them into the fight on Common Core, and they do see what all these crazy things are that they want to do in the schools, then to tell them all the crazy things they want to do in your whole community,
exactly.
It's a lot easier to get them to understand
that. It sure is.
So,
it sure is. And it expands the folks that are citizens that are aware. I don't know. I get a lot of encouragement from being able to look on, because I Facebook, because social media, it is a tool that we can use.
Yep.
And when I'm on Facebook and I see the number of folks that joined us under Common Core and now they're willing to openly talk about Agenda 21, it gives me it's encouraging.
Absolutely. We are on the ascent. They are on the descent. And we've got to focus on that. We've got to understand it. This is a house of cards. It's built on a house of lies, and that can fall very quickly. Yes, it took years for them to build it up, but if people begin to see the truth and begin to understand it, it can fall very rapidly. And I'm just pushing for that every day to make that happen.
That's what I equate it to, a building, when they tell me, there's nothing we can do. And I say, wait a minute, how long does it take to build a skyscraper? It doesn't take 5 minutes, but you could drive a plane through it and it would be down in less than 10. So the descent is always faster, because once you learn the truth, it makes it easier to understand the lies. And you can say, no, this is not right. I know this is not right. This is not right. This is not right. It's easier to knock the wind out of the sails when you know what the truth is behind it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But we also must hurry in this fight, because folks like us who are educated in a system, in an American system, and the young people today, everybody who is 40 years or younger right now has been through a full indoctrination program in the schools.
Yep. Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
We have got to hurry while we're still here so that we can lead these things, because if we're gone and we haven't done it, they won't know how.
That's one of the reasons why I tell everybody, you have to run for office. You have to find people to do multiple things. You have to find those that are better educators. You have to find those that can run for office. You've got to get involved, because we have, we being the individual, we're not interested. So you wanted it in public service, so we figured you'd have integrity and you'd be like we were in our business. And we never thought that you would take advantage like you did. So now we have to go back, and Karen Bracken gave me the best line ever when she said, "You have, in order to beat the system, you have to become the system." So that's another thing. Also, if we can get some good people in office, in their local office, go in your town council so that when they come in with the green money bag, you're small. You've got somebody there who will say no, and this is why we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So that people will then understand. So we're fighting from, like them, we're fighting from multiple directions.
Yeah. One of the things I'm trying to actually raise some funds to do is to put together a training seminar, not a conference, but a training seminar. We've got a whole lot of elected officials across the country who are with us on this now and understand it. I want to bring them together, both, you know, on the county and local level as well as the state level. If we can find some congressmen too, it's fine, but basically those levels, and bring them together, working to find the perfect legislation language that we can use to curb these things, and then at the same time have activists there to train them, first of all, how to support whatever, you know, that legislation is, how to help the legislators get it through, but at the same time be training to how to run for office, how to you know, get in there and get that done. So we're I'm trying to get that together right now. I've got about a 5-point plan that if I could put the whole thing in place, I think we would steamroll these guys, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
Well, I would start out with Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, because that guarantees a representative republic. It guarantees that we should have representatives representing us, not bureaucrats making laws. And then it also says that we are protected from invaders. So therefore, you now know that the federal government is unconstitutional on those two pieces. And we also know that if any government, whether it's state, federal, or local, makes a law that is repugnant to the Constitution, it is void. So when I get in office, which I hope to do, that I want to go through our Florida Constitution and match it up with the federal Constitution and pull out all of the language that directs public-private partnerships and these councils, because you can have a regional council, but they cannot have the power to legislate. They can only have the power to recommend. And they cannot recommend with money. They have to recommend with the best use of science.
Yeah.
And then the elected representatives make the decision.
Right.
Exactly.
And the elected representative should have knowledge of the field that they're representing. I love it when an attorney sits on the education committee and makes legislation for charter schools because his family owns 35 charter schools.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of...
Well, and there's so many, I guess, you know, the Agenda 21 has so many aspects to it, and they have covered their bases, you know, the economics of it, all of the social aspects, the natural resources, but it's pulling apart a brick at a time. You know, when we use the same thing that we used here in Louisiana to battle Common Core and to enlighten our legislators, to enlighten local school boards, that's a brick. You know, that starts our battle against indoctrinated education in Louisiana, but you know it's got to take place in every state, every county. But we've got to, every time we see one aspect of it, we've got to have enlightened elected officials that the minute they see it, they question it and it becomes suspect to them. And I don't see that. You know, it's a continuous feeding of information to these guys.
You have to elect people that are willing to learn and willing
yes.
to understand that they did not get this in their education. That's the other thing when I talk to people, I tell them it's not your fault that you can't read and write yesterday. It will be your fault after today because I'm going to tell you why, and therefore if you don't do something about it, then it becomes your fault. And you can't read and write because you weren't taught properly. So here's a tool that will enable you to do that, or whatever it happens to be that they don't know about. You don't know about the Constitution because you were never taught about it properly. Here's a pocket Constitution. Go through it piece by piece. When you get to a spot that you don't understand, call me. Here's my card. Now, if tomorrow you don't know the Constitution, then it's on you. So you're taking there is no blame. There's no blame. We all, I said, the same load of garbage. We all have been lied to by the same people, and they did a great job. But you got to stop and stop blaming and take responsibility. And then you can take back the power.
Yep.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It's a battle, that's for certain.
Well, it is, and like I say, though, I am obviously with all these attacks, with their hysterical responses to us, we're right over the target, and they know it. And I'm very excited about that. And I keep wondering when they attack me on the front page of the New York Times or in these other publications, do they think I'm going to sit there and go, "Oh my goodness, I need to change my attitude. Look at this nasty attack on me. Are you kidding?"
Yeah.
An attitude adjustment. They're going to add you to attitude training school, so what is it? Anger management and attitude adjustment training.
Yeah, that's
school.
Me. Yeah. I'm not angry. I laugh at them.
I know. I think it's
great.
I don't get angry. People, you don't get angry. No, just ask the right questions and watch them get frustrated.
I am considering. I'm trying to find the best response to all this and how we can use it to our advantage. And what I've come up with so far, and I have a debate with some people whether it's a good idea or not, I'm thinking about issuing a debate challenge to them and have all of us who have been attacked, issue the challenge. And let's see what happens. They won't accept it. But, big boy, if you want to, say these nasty things about me, say it to my face. Come on, improve it.
That's something that I often, especially when it comes to, they've changed the terminology. They don't use global warming now. They have changed it to fit their socialist agenda with climate change.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that I offer everyone is when you debate the progressives and their progressive ideology is where has been the open debate that the American public can have access to where we can challenge these people with the truth and facts, because that's once the American people see because they're so easy to tear apart with the truth, they run from it, they hide from it. They know that their house is built on lies, and that's what the American people need to see and witness. That's a great idea, Tom.
Can I make a suggestion, though?
Before
you start a debate? When I start talking to them, I make them define the words in the beginning because they have a neat habit of changing the definition depending on the social group that they're talking to. So I always say, for clarity's sake, when I say blah, 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 this is what I mean. What do you mean? So could you define social justice? Could you define sustainable development so that we all know we're talking about the same thing?
Yeah.
And that makes them nuts.
My first question to them will be, you keep accusing me of being secretly funded by Exxon and the Koch brothers. Could you please give me your proof for that? Because I've mislaid the check, and maybe this will help me find it.
I think that's very good.
I figure that's the end of the debate right there.
You're absolutely right. Oh, that would be fabulous. That's something that you could actually do it, so that the people could, don't they tweet in their questions and things like that? You could do things like that, too. They would never debate you. I think you debating Andre Duwami would be incredible. I mean, that man is, he's the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, I saw that, I saw the video of that when I was in Orlando, and I was shocked by that. And as I was watching, I said, this is how I have to end the first webinar, because this proves everything else I was saying. And just amazing. If you ever wanted to know what it was like to be in the back room with these guys where they were comfortable to talk among themselves, here it was.
And when I go down to Walton County and I talk to my friends who live in Alice Beach that he designed, I tell them, this is what this is what he's intending to do. However, see how beautiful your area is? It's not going to be like that because I've seen what they've done. I don't know if they shared that this with you, but in Boca and Wellington, you were down, where were you? You were in Stewart?
I don't know.
You went to Florida?
They drove me. I don't know.
Oh, well, in three of the communities there, Boca Raton, Wellington, and Delray Beach, very exclusive, very fancy buildings. These people now have 2,000, 4,000, 3,000 Section 8 houses in their downtown area. So I can hardly wait until they bring the illegals to come in to live there. Because that's what this is all about. And I also figured they'll probably be bringing in the refugees from the Iraqi-Iranian war that they're now starting. By the way, we are going to be partners with Iran, who will have a nuclear bomb. Isn't that exciting?
this genius policy.
What a wonderful foreign policy.
I'm so glad we have this administration. There's no way I could ever have explained to somebody what totalitarianism is without this administration. People just wouldn't buy it, you know.
Yeah, you're right, because they would never know. They wouldn't have explained anything like that. He is the example.
Yeah.
I love it when they say, oh, I voted for him, he loves me. And I always say, oh, he knows you? Did he come to your birthday party? No. Does he send you money? No. Well, then how does he love you? I don't get an answer. But maybe you better think about that one again, honey. It's very, 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 very interesting. This is a very strange area where I live because it's the Bible Belt, and it's also heavy-duty Democratic Baptist. So it's very interesting over here. But we are filled with all of these regional plans, and now they want Amendment 1. So if we have a couple of minutes, Amendment 1 is one of those feel-good amendments that's going to be on the Florida Constitution from the Land and Water Trust Company, the Land and Water Trust, who will be managing conservation. Isn't that nice?
Very, very sweet, yes.
That just makes me feel warm and fuzzy. And they want to take the money from our dock stamps, which is a tax placed on real estate and used for the poor and the elderly. So they want to take the money from that so that they can manage the land properly and it won't cost the Floridians anything. Until the poor and the elderly have no money, and the Floridians are told that they're mean because they won't support the poor and the elderly when they have to give more money to the programs and the taxes have to go up.
Yeah, then they'll have to raise the taxes for the poor and elderly, but not for the environment, but just for the, right.
And if you don't want to help the poor and the elderly, then shame on you. What kind of a Christian are you?
There you go.
You're a Christian. And say you're a Christian and you don't want to help the poor and the elderly. You are mean.
You don't want to protect the water.
I can actually write the script for this one.
Yeah. Well, you've seen it over and over and over again. They use the same script all the time.
Sure.
You know, I'd get bored with it, you know, but they just keep doing the same.
Yeah. So anyway, I tell everybody land and water conservation means land and water confiscation.
Yeah.
There you go.
Control.
Exactly.
Another term you might use for that, it's government sprawl.
Oh, government sprawl instead of urban sprawl.
Isn't that the fact of it, too, huh? That's exactly.
Yeah.
I went to a town meeting, and I told the commissioners, I said, see your neighborhood out there? Well, it's sprawl.
Yeah.
Well, the houses aren't the same. They don't all look the same.
I told Michael Coffin one time, you know, with his map that shows all that red space where there's no human activity all across the country, and the yellow space that's the buffer zones that eventually
right.
be no human activity. I said, Michael, can't you break that map down into congressional districts? The people, the congressmen could see they won't have a district. You know?
What a wonderful idea.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. He said it was going to be, it was too hard. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness, that would be fabulous. I am going to do that. I blew up the section. He blew up the section for Florida. So I'll take that one. What a great idea,
yeah.
Tom. That's a good one. I tell
that,
them
if that
when,
doesn't get you on your side, I don't know what will.
You know what? The last time I did that, I took the map of 2012, and I took the map of 2010, and I showed them how from 2010 to 2012, the counties went from red to blue, and that's where they were putting all of the sustainable development.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very
so,
good. Yeah. Yeah. That shows.
I said, here you are. And by the way, where? And then I took out one of the county maps and I said, 2010, it says conservation silviculture. 2014, it says, I mean, it's in 2010, it said agriculture silviculture. 2014, it says conservation. And I said, and there's your house right in the middle of the conservation area.
Yeah, this. I mean, I'm just reading over this whole document you'd sent to me on this Amendment 1. And, you know, again, this is – you're going to find that the land in this area becomes less productive. You're going to find loss of jobs, loss of private property, more government control. I mean, you know, it's amazing. You stand in the line at the DMV, and everybody grumbles about government. And yet – you walk out the door and you're trying to find how many more DMV lines you can create in every aspect of your life. I've never
right.
understood that. Bad government is bad government, and
yeah.
That's what this is.
Yes. Well, one of the which founders said, "I would rather pass no law than pass a bad one." That's what I told one of my legislators. This past session, I said, okay, so you would rather pass this law that you know is going to create, oh, the brewery law. They wanted the small brewers should go to, have to sell their beer to a distributor so that this distributor could sell it back to the brewer so that he could sell it to the restaurant.
And how many distributors do you think lobbied for that law?
Oh, I know.
And wrote it in the first place. I mean, that's insane. When you know, that's what happens. That when people talk about lobbyists and special interests, that's what we're talking about. They go in and create the law and then lobby to get it enacted, and you come up with these crazy back and forth things, or somebody making more money than the other guy. It's done on purpose. That's how it happens.
Yep. Well, we got that one squashed.
Yeah.
But we also started digging up into the ABA, the American Bar Association.
Oh, yeah.
In 1992, they changed all the laws and rewrote all these laws for sustainability and put all of this crap in the colleges. No wonder why these kids only have case law and they have no idea what they're doing.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it when I saw that.
Yeah, just been become non-existent, huh?
It was that one. I wasn't surprised. Oh, you will enjoy this, gentleman. Several weeks ago, in the winter, we sent a letter to Pam Bondi, our Attorney General, and John Casey put together a whole case and did a fabulous job of why. You know, the global warming, and we wanted an investigation into these agencies that were pushing this fraud on the people. So I was on the Commissioner of Agriculture's website, and it said, register a complaint. So I sent the complaint to the Commissioner of Agriculture and just pretending to be, you know, Joe Average person. And I didn't say I have mountains of documentation. I just said, I'd like you to investigate this hoax from the UN about this global warming because it doesn't seem right. So I got a letter saying that it was assigned to an inspector general,
And then 3 weeks ago, I got a letter from the Inspector General saying, we have concluded our preliminary investigation of your hoax regarding global warming, and we have come to the conclusion that we cannot pursue this case because it is our job to investigate fraud.
Well, I'm looking here at the document here for this Amendment 1, and they have this arguments for it, and they have mm-hmm. this Allison DeFore, former environmental advisor to Jeb Bush, and it goes through here and said, it talks about conservatives believe that government spending should be directed first towards a limited number of things that government can do well. Conservatives believe that whenever possible, government funding for these essential things should not rely on higher taxes. Conservatives believe. Wait a minute. Conservatives believe in limited government. Conservatives believe in private property. And conservatives believe in individual rights. None of those things fit in this Amendment 1. So, you know, I love how they use the words.
Yeah. We're going to take a look at the people who are supporting it, and Neil is going to link them to their website, which links to the United Nations. And then we'll start sending that out, and I think people should know that that's who's getting this money. All this is going to do is create a slush fund that they will be able to get their grubby little fingers on that will be unaccountable, so another couple of $1 billion will bite the dust.
Yeah. I'm looking at this list of supporters of this thing, and, I mean, I recognize a great number of them or there are similar groups all over the country. These organizations live off of grants from the federal government and from private foundations. When you put these regulations in place, some of these are legal organizations, some of them are advocacy organizations, some of them will be able to sue the government or some other entity that's not complying, and they will be reimbursed for their legal fees. I mean, this is massive income to them. One of the things that we fight, and these same people show up, the national heritage areas. There's no difference between what they want to do here in a national heritage area. And we have argued that the problem with national heritage areas is not honoring something historic that happened there. It is, you know, when you put boundaries on something, then everything inside those boundaries are affected by it. And the problem is that through the National Park Service, or usually it's the Park Service, they have this massive grant process. And those organizations, like the National Historic Trust and conservation voters and all these people, they get these grants from the Park Service, and they go into the local communities. They use the grants to push for individual rules and regulations, and sometimes you can't even tie it to the National Heritage Area. So they say, oh, the Heritage Area didn't do that, but the funding did. And so they'll put language in there that, well, we're going to protect private property rights. That is absolutely useless language.
Yeah.
And because of those very things, because the heritage area didn't affect that, but the funding does. And we argued with some congressmen on a heritage area, and we said, what do you think you're doing this? And they said, oh, I think we're honoring what happened there. I said, you know what? You can do that with a certificate, with a resolution. You don't need the funding. The congressman listened. He actually introduced a bill doing just that. You want to see these guys rise up and scream bloody murder? It's because it's all about the money, the power, the control.
Yep.
Oh, yep. That is it. That is absolutely.
And as soon as they pass this Amendment 1, if they pass this, all of these forces will move in and they'll begin to subject everybody who lives within the boundaries of that to these rules and regulations. They will destroy industry. They will destroy private property. They will destroy local government. And then they'll move on to their next prey. They are a team of locusts here. And this is what they do. They swoop in, they suck everything dry, and they move on and pat themselves on the back and give each of them a certificate for what they've done. So,
yeah.
And they get pretty good paychecks.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we will have enough activists after the
after the primary so that we can come out in full force about what this is, because you're absolutely right, and this is just another sucking sound from the Florida budget.
That is absolutely correct.
You know, this is, and you're right, this is what they do in every other state, because this is how they operate. This is what they do. And then they love to turn around and sue each other, so we wind up, you know, as a result of their lawsuit, because then it becomes case law. So now we have one bad law that begets another bad law.
Yeah. This is just bad government, and that's what it's
exactly.
all about. And the reason that we have poverty all over the world is because of bad government that will not allow people to own and control private property and profit from their own property. Hernando de Soto, an international economist who wrote a book called The Mysteries of Capital, Why It Works in the West and Nowhere Else, explained how this all worked and why there is so much poverty in all these other countries of the world, and the United States got so wealthy and our standard of living was so high. It was because we had the ability to earn from our private property. And he says there's $10 trillion of dead capital in the world. That's land that nobody's allowed to own. And that's the problem. Bad government is creating poverty, and that's the only thing that creates it.
Yep. Right. And just check out the government sprawl, huh?
Exactly.
look at the land mass of the United States and just go and do a little research and find out just what the government controls of our huge land mass, our resources. I'll tell you, Tom, one of the places I had the opportunity to go to South Korea, and they are in the full implementation stage of everything to do with Agenda 21 and sustainable development. And fortunately, I'd had the opportunity about 10 years ago before they had started to implement full swing and full force Agenda 21 and sustainable development. And you still saw villages and you could see that outlying. But now there are no villages. Everything has moved into city centers, all these massive shipyards and American jobs that they've created for the South Korean people, and this infrastructure that's just totally, it's all skyscrapers and upward, same size apartments. It's ridiculous. You rent and you get a $400 hotel room that you can't turn the air conditioning below 72 degrees, and they tell you why. You know, they don't hide it. They've implemented it, but that's what the American people need to recognize. There will not be a rural America. That's going to be wiped out, and that is because of government sprawl and how they're going to implement these things to seize the property.
Yeah, and what you're seeing is the standard of living in America is going down. We are beginning to see the signs in American cities of a third world country. And we're seeing the demise of private property rights. It all goes hand in hand. And people don't understand what private property rights are or why it's so valuable to them. But that is the key to the whole thing, and that is what they have attacked first. And, the proponents of Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, have said over and over and over again, we don't believe in private property rights. We've got to make America an inhospitable place for capitalists and their projects. Over and over and over again, they say that. Paul Ehrlich, who's a professor of population studies at Stanford, said, a massive campaign must be launched to de-develop the United States. De-development means bringing our economic system into line with the realities of ecology and the world resources situation. At the 2012 Rio Plus 20 conference, there were speakers from the podium, official people there to speak, who were advocating zero economic growth. You have a well-ordered society, and some Thomas Edison or Henry Ford comes along and screws up the well-ordered society. We can't allow that to happen. We've got to control every aspect of it, and zero economic growth is the way to keep anybody from moving in any direction. That's insanity. I mean, these are human beings, supposedly, that put their pants on one leg at a time every day, and they act like humans. But I have serious doubts as to their humanity. How could you advocate this stupid thing?
There isn't. They've got to be totally evil. And unfortunately, we are at the end of our show. Am I correct, John, with the time?
Oh, yes, ma'am, you are. That's a fact. Tom, it's been a great pleasure, and it always is. You're a very enlightening man, and I hope our listeners gleaned information and will pay attention to anything that you have to offer.
I appreciate it. If they go to AmericanPolicy.org, they'll find all this information we have. So.
And sign up for the seminar. It is so important. It is major, major, major important that you sign up for the seminar. Learn. Don't feel that you have to be an expert. Nobody is, or you are, depending upon what you want to learn. You can be an expert in your own right. Tom, it has been a pleasure, and I thank you so much, and we will certainly send all of this information out to everyone that we know. We appreciate, thank you for everything that you're doing and for getting the word out there, and we appreciate it, and we look forward to your seminar next month.
July 13th?
On
yep.
What's the date?
July
13th.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
All right. Appreciate
and
it. Thank
free,
you,
Tom.
It's free, everybody, so there's no excuse, but it is a wonderful thing that you guys are doing. Fantastic.
All right.
So good night, Tom. Good night, John. Good night, Sally. This is Karen Schoen, and you are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10, and on Red State Talk Radio on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Please look at the times because they fluctuate. Please visit our website, agenda21today.com, saveamericafoundation.com, karenschoen.com, votekarenschoen.com, and panhandlepatriots.com. We hope you have a wonderful week, and we look forward to you joining us next week. John, it has been wonderful as always. Where are you?
I'm at home right now. I feel Friday, Karen. Then I go.
John is usually on a rig, Tom, so sometimes
yep.
We hear rig noises in the back. Hey,
any quick update on that race? Have we seen any numbers for Mississippi?
Yes, Cochran is ahead, but not by much, and the margin is narrowing. But if Cochran gets it, it's because of the Southern Democrats that voted for him. So
that's exactly it. Another mechanism.
That Chris McDaniel is so close is amazing, and that is wonderful in itself. I think they have 48% of the precincts counted, and Cochran is ahead by 4 points.
Wow. Well, we can get ready, America. That's what we're confronted with. They
yes,
know the tools. They're not willing to relinquish power. They're going to do everything they can. It's up to us to get out and turn out the vote.
Remember,
all right, good night, Miss Karen. It's been a pleasure. God bless everybody, and God bless America.
God bless you. God bless America. Good night, Tom, Sally, and John.
Good night, everyone.